Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
So we have a dysfunctional media ecosystem. I don't just mean mainstream media. I mean our partisan presses. I mean our conservative news outlets. I mean a lot of the progressive news outlets. It's not just the mainstream media's problem anymore.
What they see is the equals sign and love wins and all of these very compassion-based symbols that don't actually tell the accurate story. What they tell is the progressivist view of the story.
Everything in the seeker-driven and big-box churches is measured for its emotive value to evoke some kind of emotion or feeling from people in the audience.
North Dakotans raising little Lutherans love Issues Etc.
I believe God loves
Is it difficult to know whether you're getting the straight story? I think one thing we've learned, not so much in the internet age, but in the age of a proliferated press, where the press is now not just your local paper, but everything is national and global, that you need to be careful about what you're consuming by way of your news. You need to ask questions yourself and not simply trust what it is you're reading in your paper or online or watching on the cable news. That's always been the case. We need to be a skeptical consumer of media. But what happens when both sides of the political spectrum, either side of the political spectrum, simply consumes the news that serves as the echo chamber for their ideas? What happens then? What happens to the fabric of American society? We've always been a politically diverse nation, but we've at least been able to kind of overhear one another up to this point. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about media coverage of religious liberty and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold President Trump's travel ban here with Terry Mattingly in the first few minutes. Andrew Walker will join us after that to talk about a St. Louis conference for quote-unquote LGBTQ Christians. He has some concerns. And then Dr. Cal Beisner will be our guest to talk about a Washington Post story wherein he is quoted, titled, "Climate Change is a Top Spiritual Priority for These Religious Leaders." Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here, I guess.
I take it from your tone of voice and from reading you lately that you are suffering from a journalistic depression. Why are you so depressed?
Well, I was really depressed way back in January of 2017 when we were in the middle of the hashtag Muslim ban era in terms of Donald Trump's executive order on travel. And that was tragically sad to me because, first of all, the executive order was rushed out. It was horribly handled as a political issue. And then finally and ultimately, as always seems to be the case, we had preach it to your base remarks by Donald Trump that didn't actually describe the policy that was in the executive order that he signed. So at that point, we had a predictable wave of press coverage of Donald Trump's words which made the whole situation even worse. You remember the images of people with green cards and all the problems in airports and people being denied entrance because nobody was sure what this all meant. And they didn't know what it all meant because they were following the press coverage and Donald Trump's words instead of actually reading the policy of the executive order. And this thing just goes around and around. So now we have the situation where this all hit the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court needed to make a decision about this executive order. And they made a decision that seems to back Trump, at which point we have now a wave of coverage, which our own Get Religion, Bobby Ross Jr., did a post kind of summing that all up. We had story after story accusing religious liberty advocates of being hypocritical because we were somewhat happy about some recent decisions on religious liberty, such as Masterpiece Cake Shop and the California law that would have required crisis pregnancy centers to kind of tell people about where they could go get an abortion. Both of these are really compelled speech cases under the First Amendment. And so we have the press basically telling cultural conservatives that they're hypocrites because they celebrated those decisions but aren't protesting this decision to uphold the Muslim ban, which gets us back to whether it actually was a Muslim ban and gets us back to whether or not that was what the Supreme Court was ruling on in the first place. And I get depressed. I read all this, and there's no chance whatsoever to actually have a discussion of what the executive order actually said and whether some saner legislative equivalent of what the Trump team messed up so badly might be a decent policy in a dangerous age. We can't possibly have any of that for the simple reason that the political rhetoric and the press coverage won't even allow a sane discussion of what these issues are. Is that enough? Do I need to go on?
No. Does it leave us with a situation where kind of the average person consuming their news on one side or the other really are left with the impression that what the Supreme Court upheld were Donald Trump's tweets about
the
press ban?
Yeah. That's a great way of summing it up. In fact, I wrote out four issues here, basically, about this particular Supreme Court decision. And, of course, the Supreme Court is the order of the day, and we'll come back to that here later. Is the court ruling on the content of the executive order? Now, the actual issue here is that, no, they're not. The court was primarily ruling over whether Donald Trump, as the nation's executive officer, had the right to produce this executive order. Now, of course, the previous president, Barack Obama, pretty much broke the land speed record and the world record for issuing executive orders, which brings us back to this whole question, which makes me very depressed. Why do we live in a nation where presidents have to do everything by executive order? And the reason, of course, is that we are divided like 51-49 on almost every issue that matters. So legislative compromise and solutions are almost impossible. And why are they in part impossible? Because people on the left and right are consuming only media that tells them exactly what they want to hear. Nobody's discussing tolerance. Nobody's discussing compromise. Nobody's holding out some sort of give and take within the system. So legislative action is impossible. So we're back to the executive order. Now back to my previous list. Is the court talking about the content of the executive order, or is it talking about Trump's right to produce the executive order? By the way, parentheses, does anybody in their right mind think that Donald Trump wrote the executive order text? To me, one of the great stories that's been hanging over this entire issue is it's very obvious that the agenda of the people that wrote the executive order text within the Trump administration was not the agenda that Trump was tweeting and talking about on, I don't know, Christian Broadcast Network or wherever he felt he needed to go to his base. Who actually wrote the text and what did the text actually say is a fascinating issue. Okay, back to my list. We also have whether or not the court in reality had to deal with what Trump said about the executive order in order to justify it to his base politically. Or is the court having to deal in reality with what the press said about what Trump said about the executive order, the contents of which no one is actually interested in discussing? Which brings me back to the executive order. Let me flash back a number of months and read you an interesting section of the executive order. Upon the resumption of USRAP admissions, the Secretary of State, in consultation with the Secretary of Homeland Security, is further directed to make changes to the extent permitted by law to prioritize refugee claims made by individuals on the basis of religious-based persecution, provided that the religion of the individual is a minority religion in the individual's country of nationality. When necessary and appropriate, the Secretaries of State and Homeland Security should recommend legislation to the President that would assist with such prioritization. There were some people, some predictably sane people, David French, as always, and on the liberal side of things, Kristen Powers of CNN, who noted that the actual guts of this executive order seemed to be trying to do two things. One was a temporary stop on people traveling into America from a number of states that had been listed as especially egregious and dangerous. Ironically, I believe it was a list produced by the Obama administration. Then the second thing it was trying to do was give oppressed religious minorities a chance to get out of the Hades of the UN refugee system and camps and have a chance to make it to the United States alive. Now, when you list those refugees, this happens to include, yes, Christians, but also think about all the other groups that were being massacred under ISIS. Several of them were actually forms of Islam, or like the Yazidis, a sect coming out of Islam. You could make a case that one of the primary groups protected by this order would have been Shia Muslims who were suffering bitter, devastating oppression from Sunni majority Muslims in places like Iraq and Syria. So the term Muslim ban is simplistic if part of the order is actually to protect minority Muslim religious groups in some lands where they are being oppressed, quite frankly, by ISIS or by other people like, hey, maybe the government of Syria that is oppressing religious minority groups in general and in some cases Muslims in particular. Now, that section of the executive order got almost zero coverage because Trump, pardon my tone of voice, Trump, as always, said it wrong. Trump got up there and said the primary goal of this is to protect Christians and make it fair for Christians and to get Christians into the United States, which may have been one of his primary goals, but that isn't what the executive order said. Now, have you ever heard or read about that piece of the executive order?
I have not. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, a few more minutes with him talking about religious liberty, media coverage of it, and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold the president's travel ban. And then we're going to spend some time with Andrew Walker. We'll be critiquing a St. Louis conference for quote-unquote LGBT Christians, and we'll talk about global warming and religious priorities with Dr. Cal Beisner. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
It is no sign of your intelligence to confirm that all religions are going up the same mountain. You have to deny the fundamental teachings of the religions of the world to come to that conclusion.
Craig Parton, author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month, Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims.
They may all be wrong, but do any of them ask to be tested by the canons of evidence used in the law, science, and history?
Learn more about Religion on Trial at issuesetc.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of religious liberty and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold President Trump's travel ban. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate in the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I'm thinking back to, I think it was last summer when you joined us for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, and you made a presentation for us there on the need, making the case for news discernment. Does that have something to do with what we're discussing here?
Of course it does, because basically we're talking about whether the American public has lost the ability to discern anything about the news it's consuming, whether that's fake news or whether that's just openly biased news or whether that's incorrect news or whatever. But one of the key reasons we're in the situation we're in right now and why all of this is dominating your day on radio is, first of all, Rod Dreher makes an excellent point in a piece today responding to the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Why is the Supreme Court the be-all and the end-all of American politics when the court isn't supposed to be about policymaking? First of all, that's one sign of how divided we are as a nation. Number two, as I said earlier, why are executive orders the primary way we actually accomplish anything controversial in America these days? Well, like I said, that's because we have no ability to do legislative compromise and solutions. And why is that? This ultimately brings us back to the fact that in this internet age, we are increasingly being pushed into a media system in which we only listen to the voices that are exactly like our own. We only hear information that reinforces what we already believe. And thus, American politics is breaking down when it comes to trying to reach center positions on any of the most controversial issues that face us. And that's the root cause of my depression right now, is as a journalist, I'm watching a broken journalistic system break our public discourse and thus break our political mechanisms for compromise. And thus, it all goes under the Supreme Court. And here comes, literally, Armageddon in terms of these Supreme Court hearings. I tweeted out earlier today, right now, there are people in Washington rushing to buy milk, toilet paper, and water. I mean, in case the city shuts down. I was only half joking. If through some circumstance we ended up with two open seats on the Supreme Court, and I lived through that in D.C. a long time ago, they'll have to call out the National Guard to control the protest marches and demonstrations and encampments and everything else. Why is this court situation so important? Why is it the center of everything in this nation? Why did I call Anthony Kennedy the king of America? Why did Molly Ziegler-Hemingway say we live in Kennedy's America, but he just lets us stay? To me, if you push it all the way back, it's our broken public discourse. And I'm sorry, a lot of that is the advocacy journalism that both the left and the right are consuming. And that was the heart of my talk a year ago, wasn't it?
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is also founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much for your time. We definitely live in interesting times altogether.
Yes, thanks for putting up with me today.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Andrew Walker. There's a St. Louis conference coming up soon that is listed for LGBTQ Christians. Now, it's not what you expect when you first hear something like that, but there are still some concerns, and we'll see what Andrew Walker is concerned about after this.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS National Housing Corporation is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to LCMS National Housing Corporation. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church of Terre Haute, Indiana is a congregation called, gathered, and strengthened by Christ's word and sacraments, confessional, evangelical, liturgical, serving our community and the students of Indiana State University and Rose Holman Institute of Technology, and reaching out to the nations as a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find out more about Emmanuel at www.emmanuelevluth.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.